Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer, as we come to you off of Phillies victory yesterday for a change. Isn't that a fun thing to see as the Phillies win in Miami 9-4 after dropping the first game of the series 3-1? Just didn't look like they really showed up for that first game of the series. Luckily, they showed up in a big way yesterday. The bats got going right off the bat. No pun intended. As the Phillies got it going early and often as the Phillies win it 9-4. Nice to see the bats get going a little bit. We've seen a disappointing stretch of baseball from these bats, as only scoring one run in back-to-back games against the Cubs, two runs in the first game of that series, four games total, and then, of course, a frustrating one in Game 1 in Miami, only scoring a run there as well. And then the bats finally bust out a little bit yesterday. Carlos Santana. How about that? People complaining about Carlos Santana in the leadoff spot. What does Santana do? No biggie. Just starts the game off with a home run. Solo shot, 400 feet bomb to start the game. 1-0 Phils. The Phillies would only keep increasing in that first inning. A Cesar Hernandez bases loaded triple made it 4-0. The Phillies would never look back. JT Realmuto hit his first of what would be two home runs off Jake Arrieta in the first inning to make it 4-1. But then the Phillies make it 6-1, 7-1, 8-1. And they were off and running. Struble Cabrera adds a homer in there. They find some ways to manufacture some other runs. A RBI ground out from Los Santana. Struble Cabrera, an RBI double as well. Reese Hoskins, a bases loaded to hit by pitch in the ninth inning. You don't get to see that nearly enough. Ultimately, the Phillies find a way to win it. 9-4, putting themselves back in it. It's one of those things. And nice game for Santana, 2-for-5, couple runs, couple RBIs. That homer, 2-for-4 for Struble Cabrera with 3 RBI on the eve. Cesar Hernandez goes 2-for-3. He's obviously been slumping as of late, but the offense able to get the job done. Scott Kingery, by the way, turned into a much better defensive shortstop than I expected him to. He made some really nice plays out there in the field, and I know that defensively this team struggles all the time, and the shortstop position is certainly part of that. But last night, some really nice plays from Scott Kingery in back of Jake Arrieta. Jakey, as Gabe would call him. Jake goes 7 1/3 innings, gives up 4 earned runs, 11 strikeouts. Where did that come from? Only 2 walks, 8 hits allowed. Gets the win now, 10-9 on the season. The ERA at 3.61. Look, Jake Arrieta's been fine. Not great. Not super good. He's been fine. And I think last night, a perfect example of that, look, 7 1/3, 4 runs. It's not a quality start, but it's fine. You know, if your team hits a little bit, you'll win the game. And able to save the pen a bit. Hector Neris comes in, gets through a couple thirds of an inning. Pat Neshek ultimately closes it out. Not a save situation, obviously, but pitches the ninth for this Phillies team. And that's what I was saying before, is it's a weird spot with this Phillies team, because it feels like one night you're ready to give the season up. To say, all right, it's over. They don't have it. They just don't have it. I thought they were something that they're not. That's what you feel like, right? As you're watching these games for one night. I mean, to see them beat the Cubs on Friday night, you're feeling good. It's coming after that win against Washington, after the worst loss of the season. And you're saying, all right, maybe we're turning things around here. Maybe this is the start of the run that we've been waiting for. And then they just crap the bed again, and they lose the last two games of that Cubs series, infuriatingly so. And then that's, look, losing 2 out of 3 to the Cubs isn't criminal. The Cubs are a really good baseball team. They have the best record in the National League. I get it. But then to go to Miami and drop that first game 3-1, and really just looked like you didn't even get off the plane for that first game. I mean, that was really what it felt like watching the game. It felt like the Phillies couldn't be bothered to get off the plane to show up for that game. Velasquez pitched okay, rough second inning. Everything else was fine, but the bats, just unable to get going. And then they come back yesterday and they pound the Marlins like they should. So it's becoming very difficult to know which team is the real team. Who do we count on? Who do we not? And again, I think that if the first part of the season had not been such if it had not been the hallmark of this team, that they're resilient and they fight and they're never out of a game or out of a series or whatever, then I think it would be a lot easier to accept right now the struggles that they've been having in these types of spots. It's just that we had grown so accustomed to this team getting the job done, to this team never going on an extended losing streak, to never feeling like they're so far down that they're not going to get up. And I think that's the point, right? I mean, this is a resilient team, and they have fought all season long, but now, for the first time all season, you're starting to at least a little bit be like, yeah, I don't know if they have it. I don't know if they're good enough. That's the way I feel when I watch them. And last night was fun. It was a good win last night. Braves lost. Back to three down. Keeps seesawing between three and four, which is good. I'll take it. Look, that's what was so frustrating about losing that first game to the Marlins. You had an opportunity to make up another game there. The Braves are playing the Red Sox. Then they're playing the Diamondbacks. It's a tough week for the Braves. They're toughest left on their schedule. Yeah, take advantage of that. If they lose, you win. That's the goal, right? That's why it's so frustrating. Granted, they did that last night, but that's why that first game against Miami was so frustrating. And I think it's even more difficult to deal with because ultimately they're running out of games. And I know that Kapler has talked about No, not a must-win game, and they don't have to win every game and all that. And that's true, obviously. You don't have to win every game, but there's, what, 25, 26 games left in the season? There is no tomorrow anymore. This is it. You either find a way to catch three games up to the Braves or potentially the wild card in the next 25 games, or it's done. And again, to hammer this home, and I've said this really just nonstop for the last few weeks, but I feel like it can't be said or discussed enough, is the importance of perspective with this Phillies team, the importance of being able to step back and say, wow, this is a Phillies baseball team that on September the 5th has won, they've won 73 games. 73 games on September the 5th, a team that last season won 66 games all season long, and they're sitting at 73 and 65 right now in September. They're three back from the playoffs, from the division. A division that we, if you had said back in April, back in May, anybody but the Washington Nationals is going to win this division, people would look at you like you're crazy. And now this Phillies team is fighting with the Braves for this spot. So I think that perspective is key, that, again, while it is frustrating, and it's really, I think it's kind of the way that it's happened that is so frustrating, the fact that the defensive miscues, the mistakes on a nightly basis, the correctable, fixable stuff that has plagued this team, that's the stuff that really makes you frustrated. But on the whole, I think that it feels like the response to this team has been a little over the top. And again, I've said this before, but I firmly believe it. I would much rather Phillies fans be all jacked up and fired up about the Phillies than to not care at all. So that's certainly a step in the right direction. I just, it feels disproportionate. It feels like people are so mad at this Phillies team, and so mad at Gabe Kapler and Matt Klentak, and oh, how could you ruin the Phillies? What are you talking about? Are we watching the same sport? This is a team that won 66 games last year, came into the season as the youngest team in baseball with zero guys who are truly proven on the major league level. Odubel Herrera, sure. Carlos Santana, you bring in. Jake Arrieta, you bring in. That's it. Aaron Nola, increasingly getting better. We didn't know he was a friggin' ace. Rhys Hoskins, ooh, he could be good. Oh, he is good. And again, to do it the way they've done it with the defensive miscues, with the lack of consistency offensively, with a guy like Odubel Herrera having a first quarter of the season that's as good as it gets and then basically turtling up for the rest of the year. I mean, there's so many factors as to why this team has struggled as of late. But again, we can't forget that this group of guys, this manager everyone hates in his first year, have all made this team a team that's playing competitive baseball games in September. What more can you ask for? 66 wins last season. I feel like I can't hammer that home enough. They won 66 games last season. And they're fighting for the playoffs right now with a manager that nobody likes for some silly reason. With a bunch of players who are, let's face it right now, not all-star type guys. With a defense that can't stop the ball. I think that we should really be stepping back and saying, instead of getting all pissy and angry and whatever about it, instead of getting all frustrated that this team isn't what we hoped they could be ahead of schedule, instead of all that, you know what the best thing to do is? Enjoy the ride. A lot easier said than done, especially with, that's the thing too with baseball is you're so invested on a day-to-day basis. There's no other sport where you get to see the guys play as often, where you get to form a relationship with these players, where you get to feel like you really know them, you know, and I watch these guys every single night. I feel like I know Rhys Hoskins. I feel like I know Aaron Nola. I feel like these are my guys. And I think that that's something that is unique to baseball, especially to those of us diehards who watch every single game or miss three games a year or six games a year or 10 games a year, whatever it is. You really develop an affinity for the players and the team, especially when they exceed expectations. So I think that that is part of the reason why people have been so angry and so frustrated with this team over the last few months or month and a half or whatever, because I think people just got emotionally invested. And it's frustrating that when you get emotionally invested at the time when things matter the most, you don't get the return on your investment that you wanted. So I totally understand it. You know, I get it. I'm just saying that I think, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it, is that perspective is key here. It's key. You have to have some perspective here. Because this team has certainly exceeded expectations this year. They are ahead of schedule timeline-wise as an organization, as a ball club. All of these guys are ahead of schedule. This whole shebang is ahead of schedule. So that's actually something to be really excited about. That's something where you can look at this Phillies team, and we talked about this last week, but there's real reason for optimism for the future here in Philadelphia. More than at any time I can remember, other than maybe like 2006, 2007, right in there, where those guys are starting to get it going and rise to what they would become. And really, that, you know, when you look at the team from a financial flexibility perspective, from a roster construction perspective, from a minor league, you know, assets perspective, they might even be in better shape. And again, look, they won the World Series. They made the playoffs 5 years in a row. Well, I think we'd all sign up for that again, right? I mean, I would. Where's the paper? Where's the line? I'll sign it. Give it to me. Yeah. Five straight years in the playoffs and a World Series title. Let's roll. So I'm not saying that's going to happen or anything. I'm just saying that from a how they are set up for the future perspective, it doesn't get much better than how this Phillies team is set up for the future. And they're competing now. So it's really exciting stuff. All right, coming up, and again, it's all about that perspective. Coming up, we're going to look into the standings in the National and American League, and see how this playoff race is shaping up with just 25, 26 games to play, depending on what team you are. And then we will look at game three. The final game of this Marlins series is tonight. So we'll get to that as well, and looking ahead to the weekend and a whole lot more. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We are coming right back. We are back, Phillies Today. James Seltzer, as we look around at the standings. We've only got 25 or 26 games left to play, depending on what team you are, as the Phillies sitting at 73-65. We just chronicled how they were able to finally take care of business yesterday against the Miami Marlins. Desperately needed victory for this team. As, look, they got to win again. They got to win tonight. Yeah, they have to win again. I mean, that's where they're at. They can't lose a series to the Marlins right now. You got Nick Pivetta on the old night. Pivetta looked great in that last outing, the first game against the Cubs, the winning game. Looked really good against a good team. I'm hoping Nick Pivetta can build on that. We'll get to that coming up. But you look at where this team sits in the National League right now. They are three games behind the Braves. The Braves, you lose again yesterday to the Red Sox. Sitting at 76-62. The Phillies at 73-65. Finally, they've played the same number of games for so long this season. We've had half games off, this and that. The Braves, really interesting the way their home road splits. They're four games over 500 at home, but a 39-29 record on the road, opposite of the Phillies' 30-39 record on the road. The Phillies, of course, 43-26 at home. A great home team. The Nationals at 69-70. Probably a little too far out of it to really make a run, but they are still hanging around and playing competitive baseball, winning obviously one out of every two games, it looks like. You go to the Central, the Chicago Cubs in first place. Lost to the Brewers yesterday, but still three games up on Milwaukee there, four in the loss column. So that should be an interesting race there. You figure the Cubs in good shape. The Cardinals right behind the Brewers, a game and a half back of them, as we'll get to the wild card standings in a minute. And then the NL West has a chance to be one of those all-time finishes, as well as the Colorado Rockies sit in first place in the division. Half a game up on the Dodgers and one and a half up on those Diamondbacks. So that's three teams within a game and a half. They've been jockeying for a position all season long, kind of been going back and forth. So that's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out. Coming up, we'll also look at the wild card standings, but quick look at the American League. I feel like we often disrespect to the American League when we're talking here, which is fine because, you know, we're National League people. That's cool. But quick look at the American League standings. Since the last time we've looked, not too much has changed, as teams that were going to make the playoffs are still going to, like the 96-44 Red Sox. How is that even possible? 52 games above 500 right now. Man, you thought they'd slow down, and it looked like they were going to slow down. They're 6-4 in their last 10, so I think they're not going to get to the record. It looks like that they'd have to win like 20 out of 22 or whatever to make that 116 win number happen, or whatever it would be. But regardless, 8.5 up in the division. They're going to be the number one overall seed in the American League handily. Just an unbelievable season for those Boston Red Sox. The New York Yankees, of course, with the second best record in baseball and in the American League, even though they'll be a wild carder, 87-52. They've been playing really good baseball lately as well. 5-5 in the last 10. Prior to that, a nice little run. As you go down, and I just want to highlight this because I feel bad for them. I mean, as we've discussed, the Philadelphia Phillies, your Philadelphia Phillies are 73-65, and they are three games out of a playoff spot. They're three games out of the division lead. The Tampa Bay Rays are 75-63. What does that mean? That means that they would be in front of the Phillies. They would be one game behind the Atlanta Braves if they were in the American League, or in the National League East, instead of the American League East. Man, tough draw for that Rays team that literally has nobody playing on it and finds a way to win games. Kevin Cash, my manager of the year, lock it in. I'm sorry, Gabe. I'm sorry, Brian Snitker. Sorry, all those peeps. Wow. What an impressive. Oh, and how about Oakland, too? Bob Melvin. So, yeah, I don't know. Some really impressive teams here, but for the Rays to be 12 games over 500 and just have no shot at the playoffs, that's a tough draw right there. Tough draw. Indians, 15 games up, in the American League West. Central, that is locked down. The Twins, 12 games under 500. The Indians at 78-60. They will make the playoffs. And then you look out to the West. Houston in first by 3.5 games, 86-53, just under the Yankees, one game back of them record-wise. And then How about those Oakland A's? Continuing to play amazing baseball, 83-57, 3.5 back of the Astros. They are firmly in that second wild card spot. And look at that. Seattle is now 5.5 back of them. And Seattle at 77-62. Again, just for perspective's sake, would be a half game up in the NL East. And they're not going to make the playoffs in the American League. So if nothing else, be grateful the Phillies are a National League team this season because, wow. Tough draw in the American League with some really, really impressive teams, some impressive records. Again, the Rays would be one game back at the Braves, and the Mariners would be a game up on the Braves. And both those teams have basically a 0% chance of making the playoffs. That's pretty crazy. All right. As we discussed, it looks like the American League wild cards are all but locked. The Yankees are a lock. They're 4.5 up on the A's for the second wild card and first. But the A's 5.5 up on the Mariners, 7 up on the Rays. You feel pretty good about the A's making the playoffs. Billy Bean, Moneyball works, I guess, huh? This is like the most Moneyball team of all of them, too. I mean, I don't even know how they're doing it. Guys like Edwin Jackson are playing a key role. Brett Anderson came back playing a key role before getting hurt. And then, they have guys in their lineup that I wasn't, I've heard of, but I didn't know well. Like Ramon Laurento is killing it for them. Do you know what Ramon Laurento is? That's my point. So they've been great. Matt Chapman, I think your underrated potential MVP type candidate, as having just a brilliant season out there defensively and offensively for those A's. You look to the National League, the Phillies 3.5 back of the wild card. They are actually in better shape right now to take the division than the wild card. If for no other reason, they only have to jump one team instead of a bunch. But the Brewers game and a half up on the second place team, the Cardinals, both the NL Central teams in the lead right now for the wild card. The Dodgers a game back of the Cardinals. The Diamondbacks 2 back, and then the Phillies at 3.5 back. Everyone else 8 or more back. So, look, it's going to be a hell of a race in the National League. As we've discussed many times, you've got 3 division winners, then the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, the Phillies. I mean, this is a mammoth monster playoff race that's going to occur. It's certainly the most competitive, most fun, most exciting National League I can remember in recent years, and it's fun to have the Phillies be a part of that, right? I mean, the Phillies are right in the thick of it. Granted, not in great shape when you look at, certainly with the wild card, how many teams they have to jump. In the division, you do feel better about their chances. Obviously, they can handle the Braves, hopefully. I mean, they're going to be playing 7 games the last 10 against them, 7 of the last 11, so it's going to come down to that. And then when you look at the fact that Rockies sitting in first place in the West, that's the other team they play. They have to take advantage of these games against bad teams. Now, I know we said it all season long, and of course, that would be just or right, if this team were to ultimately get hoisted by their own petard in terms of being unable to beat the bad teams and playing well against good teams. Hopefully, that doesn't come back to bite them. They have to win series here, and they have to start by winning tonight and winning this series against the Marlins. This whole "we haven't won a series since July" thing is getting tired. I'm sick of talking about it. So they need to win this one. Nick Pavetta takes out against Sandy Alcantara tonight. Alcantara is a very, very talented young pitcher. His pitch well since coming up, but he's incredibly young and a rookie, and that's an opportunity. Nick Pavetta, Bulldog Pavetta, he needs it. We need Cy Pavetta out there tonight. They need Nick in a big way. Nick responded in game one of the Cubs series. A couple rough outings prior to that, but 3 really good ones before that. You need Nick Pavetta to respond. This is a team he's pitched well against, this Marlins team. You feel good with Pavetta, especially off day tomorrow. And then they go up to New York for 3. Eflin, Nola, Velasquez on the hill. And what will, again, each game now is the season. I mean, that's where we're at. It's literally not all must win, but you have to win these series. You have to start winning series. You don't want to put yourself in such a hole before those last 7 out of 10 or 7 out of 11 that the season's already lost. So big, big game tonight. Big rest of this series here. They need to win a series. We're going to be talking tomorrow about the Phillies winning a series. I'm no more of this. Get it done, Phillies. I can't do it anymore. Go into Miami and take care of business tonight against a bad baseball team in a game you have to have. The Braves are playing the Red Sox. The Braves are playing the Diamondbacks. This is your week to get back in it. The Phillies need to do it. Either way, we'll be back to talk about that and a whole lot more tomorrow on Phillies Today. Until then, keep it here. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.